you so much. You may be seated for just a moment. Isn't that a wonderful hymn with which to begin today? When I survey the wondrous cross. Thank you, Joe Mays, for leading us in it. Before we go to the Lord in prayer today and have our scripture reading, I want to mention just one very special request for prayer that was handed to me a moment ago. Glenda Mosney, who has worked for many, many years in our registration office. Her husband, Bill, was taken to the hospital on Tuesday, hemorrhaging. He's in Durham Regional Hospital, and they've not been able to locate the cause of the hemorrhage at this point in time. And I know Miss Glenda would appreciate it if we would especially pray for her and for her husband during this time. And so let's be asking God's blessings upon them. In just a moment, Fran Cook is going to come and read our scripture and then lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer. Let me just make one quick announcement, and maybe this should be a prayer request too. Remember that tomorrow at 10 a.m. over in the cafeteria, we'll have some coffee and donuts for you. The coffee you need, the donuts you don't, but we'll have them available for you over there. And then there'll be some additional meat available also, because the president will be in the lion's den. And all of the things you've wanted to say to me about the tuition increase that you've been reading about, you will have the opportunity to say to me. And it's a rare opportunity, and so please do plan to come and be there tomorrow for that. Fran Cook will be graduating in May, and in addition to her other distinction, she is the daughter of the one who brings our message today. Fran's going to come at this time and lead us in the reading of God's Word and also to God's throne of grace in prayer. Fran, you come.
Hear now the reading of our Lord's crucifixion as recorded in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 15, verses 22 through 39. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And when they crucified him, and with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests mocked him to one another with the scribes, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And one ran, and filling a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that he had thus breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Here ends the reading of God's word. May we pray together. Almighty God, we have come in anticipation and in expectation to hear word from you through your servant, Don Cook. Open our hearts so that your spirit may fill us. Open our ears to hear your word. We are people who live in troubled times, dear Lord. Illnesses, struggles, loneliness. We pray that you give us your peace. We ask for your guiding hands among our doctors and surgeons who try to heal our bodies, but we look to you, Lord, to heal our souls. We have surveyed the cross, dear Lord, and we have seen your Son there. and we have stood silently watching and waiting. And yet, Lord, we know the rest of the story, your resurrection and your glory in which we may participate. We thank you, Lord, for that honor. Bless our speaker, bless our musicians. Be with us this hour. Amen.
Thank you, Fran. I feel like I need to apologize to the rest of the faculty for what I'm just about to do, but if you're not in the New Testament faculty, you may be offended when I say that if the rest of us are mere Levites, it has always seemed to me that the high priest were the people who dealt with Greek. They're the ones who enter into the Holy of Holies and grapple with the Greek New Testament. I see you, Dr. Galeotti, but God will forgive the thought that's in your heart. And nobody is any more able and gifted in the Greek New Testament than our speaker today, Dr. Cook. You know him well, of course. Many of you have studied with him, but I have come quickly to love him and appreciate him because of his diligence and his understanding of the Greek New Testament. And I found him also to be a wonderful and godly man who loves the Lord and who loves people. And I'm so grateful today that he's coming to be our speaker. One of the first students that I met when I came here was Joe Mays, who was waiting tables at a restaurant where I happened to eat. If I had had any idea what a marvelous gift he had with his voice, I would have said, don't bring me anything else, just stand there and sing. And so Joe Mays is going to come and sing for us, and then after that, you will listen to a gracious man of God and a Greek scholar, Dr. Cook.
To stand in this place has all sorts of memories and all sorts of thoughts, and brings to my mind not only the times when I have stood here, but when I have been where you are and where others have stood here to bear witness to the presence of God in our lives and in this place. And I think with Paul, I can say that I thank my God for every remembrance of these events. It sort of struck my funny bone when I realized that this is April Fool's Day, and that maybe somewhere in the deep recesses of administrative power that somebody was going to give me an opportunity to do just that with myself. But then again, being a sort of a fanatic where the New Testament is concerned, I remembered Paul talking about the foolishness of preaching and how the preaching of the cross is both wisdom and foolishness. I would preach unto you Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who believe Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. I'd like to do it in a slightly different way today. I'd like to read you some poetry. Some poetry that has come into my experience as one who writes a little poetry occasionally, as I have tried to think of the presence of God in this place, the way in which God has used this school, and the way in which the cross has been and is proclaimed in our midst through our lives. Let me bear witness to you, and let me simply ask that you take me seriously, that you take God seriously, and that you take the cross with you. I met a man with pierced hands in the early days of my life. He spoke above the clamoring strife of my timid fear and pressing ambition to call me to his own volition. I knew he was Jesus. There was nothing between us. He said, I am truth. Proclaim me in youth. And when age has come, the task won't be done. Now I have gone beyond the days of youth, and discover indeed that Jesus spoke the truth. My work is greater than ever before. I never tire of telling salvation's lore. I thank Him for calling me to His tasks, and more opportunity is all that I ask. I've been a teacher here. This is my 28th year, and this is probably my last chapel service in which to speak. To be a teacher is one of the most rewarding and blessed experiences in life. This is what I thought of it several years ago, and I continue to think this today. What greater calling than to teach, to help another his depth to reach, to probe for truth, to look for meaning, to redeem the promise of life's great greening. I like to be near when a mind awakes, when the light of truth upon her breaks. The change is evident in eye and voice from the first time she has a choice of who to be or what to do with the range of life that is suddenly new. Those dreary facts that yesterday bored and quite often greatly annoyed that languid spirit in repose now become luminous to expose the vast reaches of human potential and the underlying divine essential. I think more than anything else that I have tried to teach in my years here has been the centrality of the cross and the utter importance of the resurrection. In fact, being a French scholar, I have given it in French a number of times to my students. Some of them have been able to translate it, "Without the resurrection, you ain't got nothing." But hear me. Experience with me for just a moment the cross on this first day of April in the midst of Holy Week as we look forward to Easter. I see a cross upon a hill, a man dying alone. Time is still, life is lost for me. Or it may be that, as I have, you have approached the cross in a time of personal sadness, in a time of loss for yourself or for some other. Several years ago, in the midst of grief, I wrote these words: "In Jesus' name, I shall not fear death, not even when it draws near to me. His strong hand and loving heart banish terror from sorrow's dark, so I can see. My tears are real, but so are His, arising from the grave's abyss. He sets me free. Thank God for the cross in times of loss and victory." Or it may be you wonder, what is the word of the cross of which Paul spoke? In the mountains one year, I thought of the cross so very much that these words ultimately came. The cross speaks eloquently of the translation of word into deed, of its application to the realities of human need, of its fulfillment in the most magnificent and tragic event in history, and of the present realization of God's purpose in mystery. We speak quite a bit of being witnesses to the cross. And sometimes in our study of the New Testament, we talk about those who were eyewitnesses. In my imagination, I have tried to probe into the mind and hearts of a number of persons and things that were present at the cross when Jesus died. And I have their witness here today. First of all, the cross itself speaks. And it asks the question, why me? If a tree could weep, I would. If a branch could pale with shame or shiver with wretchedness or shrink with remorse, I should. Why me, O God? Why should I bear the stains of his ending life, feel his struggling weight, share his human fate, seal the horror of his strife? O God of mercy, why me? There are so many things that I might have been. So gracious could have been my end. Pleasure should my wood have given. Yet here I hold his body riven. Ah, now I see what I must be, a witness to eternity. It's in your heart and on his face, the love of God in bloody trace. The life that on the tree is given shall from the grave be riven. Peter was a Johnny come lately at the cross and did not distinguish himself by his deeds. Imagine what he must have thought. I got there late. After all my words, first in pride and then in fear, I meant to be on time. I saw him hanging under the sky. I heard the din of the crowd. My breath was short. My heart pounded. He was by evil surrounded. Jesus was good, a regular Jew. What did he do that he must die? And if he must, why upon a cross? Looking back at last, I see glimpses of eternity. Anointed Christ, crucified deity, forgive my Caesarean protestations. Accept, I pray, a sinner's adoration. 3 days were long without a leader. Easter's news came with such a rush. The tomb was empty. An angel had spoken. This for the world would be a token. Yet to me one word soared above the crush. Go tell his disciples and Peter. The most fascinating person at the cross to me, besides Jesus, is the Roman centurion. And I always am amazed at how Mark and Matthew and Luke tell us the same thing, yet in such different ways. I've often wanted to hear from his own lips what he sensed that day. It's been so long since I was home. This place is a forsaken mess. Rome rules the world, but Jews oppress. Haughty and dirty, mean and nervy, no one their reason can address. At first I cared and looked into their eyes as they begged to be spared. My heart was touched by their cries, but it's been so long and they won't listen. Die they must, together or alone. Look, the sky in the east has begun to glisten. Here they come, not one this time, but three. The dreary task again. They grunt and cry, but all must die. It's theirs, not mine, the pain. Don't look at me, man, you miserable Jew. Why don't you plead like the rest? Let me hear your curse. It's nothing new. Don't put me to the test. But what is this? I sense not fear or hate, that I can handle, but love, What can I do? This man shares my fate. He prayed for me. It's done. There he hangs, grace strung up on a cross. Living, dying, who knows? How strange. Somehow all is not lost. Who is he there upon that tree? So much like, but different from me. Bearing my sin, he received my lot. Truly this man was Son of God. And then there were the women standing at the cross. Although we look from afar, we lowly women were there. Fear could not mar our hope. We saw him sin's penalty bear. We stayed because we cared. They put his body in a tomb. Its place was known to us. So after Sabbath rest a day, in early morning's light, we went to do what we might. Spices we brought to anoint his body, a final deed of love. But never did we our task complete. He was not there. We could only stare. The heavenly messenger gave us the word. We responded with fear, then with faith. He said that God had raised Christ up. This news we must relay. So off we rushed to tell the rest who waited in Calvary's gloom that Christ was risen and life is given in God's house yet. There is room. What must have been our Lord's thoughts as he hung upon the cross? The Gospels don't tell us. It's remarkably silent about Jesus' own feelings about himself. But in my imagination, I've tried to understand. And here I present what I think he might have felt. It is a fearful thing to die, to hang alone, unmourned, with hagglers and stragglers, laughers and gawkers, wandering about in satanic jubilation. It's a painful thing to die. Seared nerves and oppressive heat, thirst, God. How it hurts. My mind is stunned. My senses cry out, will this ever end? Why did it ever begin? It is an awesome thing to die. But such is the will of God. The cross is Rome's, but not my life. The death I choose is sacrifice. Forsaken I am not. Oh God, my Father, it is finished. Yet my life is undiminished. And finally, stepping back from the cross, as all of us must do, and view our lives, the question is really what John raises about beginnings and endings. How does it start? How is it completed? The beginning of the gospel ends in a life lived out with love and care on Galilee's hills and Jordan's descent, in desert places during quiet times, with a word from God for two or three, who finally agreed to bear and then share the possibility to be. The ending of the gospel begins on a hill where a cross was set near an unsuccessful tomb. Midst a centurion's confession and disciples' doubt, life emerged from the earth womb, setting darkness to rout and making of death an end. Death's ending is the beginning of hope, and life's beginning the end of fear. The bold Galilean is native of both heaven and earth, at home with God and man. Between the two, no longer is there a chasm to span. Let's pray. We thank Thee, O God, for moments that we spend together in Your presence, for Your Word that is light to our feet and lamp to our path, for Your presence who is Spirit in our hearts and strength in our hands and joy in our soul and light in our minds. We thank Thee that this day has been given to us in which to live and rejoice and serve You. Keep the cross near to our hearts and keep us near to the cross. And may in the living and proclaiming of its word that we might bring women and men to Thee and light to life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you.